Come on, mate.
Good morning.
Is my microphone on? Oh, that's good. I just thought for one moment you wouldn't be able to hear me.
Oh, dear.
There's something to say it all, what a pity. I thought that. Oh, well, there we go. What a lovely morning it is. It's not raining, but it's not snowing. So that's a good morning, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, enough of that. I'm supposed to read the intimations out now, which I'll try and do. They're very limited because you'll notice we surprise this morning. No order of service handed out. So you're all sitting there in keen anticipation of what Janice is going to provide for us this morning. It makes it a bit more exciting, doesn't it?
Really?
Yeah. Janice is just going to make it up today if she was along. That should be fun. Anyway. Intimations, right, I better read it as it is. Welcome to our Sunday service this morning, especially all those who have travelled from Lyme Kilns. Yes. And any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. We will be led in worship today by Reverend Janice Andrews. Please stay if you can after worship for teas and coffees and a chat. And please note that our service next week will be in Lyme Kilns Church. Intimations. Printed intimations for Cairnhill are currently paused for a summer break. A copy of the most recent issue, the 28th of June, can be obtained from our website and Facebook page. The only upcoming event for Cairnhill is the Cycle Club outing on next Saturday, the 11th of July. There is a printed sheet today for Lyme Kilns Church, which I'll now refer to. Link, you've got the printed sheet in front of you. And you've read it all meticulously, so I will ask questions now. What is not going to... Karen has informed me, through a little note, that there is no lunch at the Bruce Hotel this Tuesday. As it's the first Tuesday of the month, lunch will be next Tuesday the 14th. Okay, so I'm sorry about the disappointment about the lunch at the Bruce Hotel. Finally, from Karen again, tickets are available for the Gilbert and Sullivan show, this is a surprise, through Karen. Please ask if you require Karen's mobile number. Apparently our Elaine has Karen's mobile number. I'm sure you all have it yourselves. I could start reading things from the Lyme Kiln sheet, but I'm sure you're all aware of the content of it. And at that point, I'll now hand over to Janice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to sing. And then I don't touch it now. Right, that's fine. It's nice to sing as we are gathered, as we gather together and just focuses our mind and meeting with our risen Lord. Just one other intimation, actually. George asked me just to do it myself. I'm going to be running a wee alpha course. It's not until the middle of August, the 19th of August, for a few weeks, and it's going to be at High Valley Fields Community Centre. But I just want you to make you aware, there will be posters going up and wee flyers going out. And if you would like to come along, or if you know someone who maybe doesn't come to church but might be quite interested to find out more about the bigger questions of life and who Jesus is, then my phone number's on the flyer. It'll be good to have some idea of who's all coming before it starts, because we need to do some catering, and I don't want to be making sandwiches for six people and there's 26 there, so but wouldn't that be great if we get a good response? Anyway, that's not until the middle of August. So our call to worship this morning, it's always from the Psalms. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Declare his glory and praise his holy name. So let's sing together. O breath of life, come sweeping through us.
Oh, my God, sweeping through us, sweep again.
our gifts, we pray. And we ask that you would add your richest blessing upon them. May they be used for your purposes, to comfort and love those uppermost in your mind at this time. Direct our course that we may know the ways in which you are calling us to serve, and send us out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Elaine. I think Rosemary is going to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Rosemary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we come before you in awe and wonder. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke light into darkness, who set the stars in their places, and yet who knows each of us by name. Your holiness is beyond our comprehension, faithful beyond our deserving, and loving beyond our imagining. Your mercy is new every morning, and your grace is deeper than the oceans. We adore you for who you are, faithful and unchanging, for your justice and your compassion, for the gift of life and the hope of eternity. You are our refuge, our strength, and our song. To you alone belongs all glory, honour, and praise. Merciful Father, in the light of your holiness, we see our sin. We confess that we have not always loved you with all our heart, nor have we loved our neighbours as ourselves. We are sometimes quick to speak and slow to listen, eager to judge and slow to forgive. We have trusted in our own strength and sought our own way, forgetting that every breath is a gift from you. Forgive us, gracious Father, for the times we have ignored your voice and neglected your word, as we bring to you now in a moment of quietness our own personal thoughts and to say sorry. Father Lord, have mercy on us and renew within us a right spirit as we come together now in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. Well, we're going to sing that lovely hymn now, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. If you're using the CH4 book, it's 528. the metropolis of Cumnock in Ayrshire. I'm sure we all have our favourite place, and that's probably mine. And it's very quite a sizeable town next door to Dumfries House, which is, really has brought it notoriety. But when I was a young girl, it was a small mining community. And sometimes when it came to getting a job or getting on, it wasn't a case of what you know, it was a case of who you know. And there was many a school leaver, including myself, whose mum or dad just had a wee word in the ear of a counsellor, the local business owner, and lo and behold, a job offer would appear. And it just reminded me of a wee passage in scripture when the mother of James and John asked Jesus if she could have a wee word with him, because her sons had shown great faithfulness and allegiance to our Lord, and her request was that he would grant a prominent place to both her boys when the time came for him to inaugurate his kingdom. Well, she really didn't know what she was asking. It's a true saying, ignorance is bliss. She hadn't a clue, could begin to imagine the path that was before Jesus. She was thinking of grandeur and position and probably financial rewards as well. And even although in chapter 16 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had clearly said, when I go to Jerusalem, I will suffer many things. I will be arrested, I will be handed over to the chief priests, and I will be put to death by crucifixion. But in 3 days I will rise again. And at the time when Jesus said that, Peter was so shocked, he had the audacity to take Christ aside and said, Jesus, what are you saying? That will never happen to you. And that's when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because he knew that the eyes and the ears of his followers were being closed. They just could not conceive what Christ was telling them would actually happen. Their vision was of our Lord being an earthly king, overthrowing the hated Romans who were in occupation. Even their mothers were excited about the opportunities that might be there for them. They had visions of a wonderful kingdom. It's very similar to that of King David. But 1,000 years had passed since the reign of King David. And since then, Jerusalem had been invaded by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, and now it was not free, occupied by Roman overlords. And as we say in the Flower of Scotland, the Israelites longed to be a nation again. And they believed that Jesus was the man to do it. He was the man to restore Israel to a wonderful monarchy and an independent nation. But Jesus turns firstly to the mother and he says, you don't know what you're asking. And then he turns to James and John and he says, do you actually think that you can drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And he was referring to the terrible suffering and death on the cross. But in their ignorance, they reply, oh yes, we can. Ultimately, they did drink from the cup of suffering, not that they saw it before them then, but John was the only disciple not to meet a violent death. His brother James, the son of this mother who had made the request, he was beheaded on the command of Herod Agrippa years later. Not that he'd done anything to deserve this gruesome end, but Herod wanted to covet the Jews, and he knew if he began to persecute the disciples especially, it would make him very popular with the Jewish community. So it was simply because of his ego that James was beheaded. And in the decades that followed, persecution was rife, especially if you were unfortunate enough to live in Rome. Herod Agrippa had been bad, a tyrant, but he was nothing in comparison to Emperor Nero, the Caesar of Rome at that time. So in the word that God has given us this morning, he presses through the point that greatness is found in servitude, and he longs that we continue serving, and he asks that we will endure. For his great promise is that when we serve him, and when we endure with him, we will reign with him. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we'll now hear our Bible readings. I'm looking around because it's Lillian. Thank you, Lillian. I couldn't remember who was reading the word this morning. Thank you, Lillian.
Our first reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 20, and we read from verses 20 to 28, a mother's request. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down asked a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our second reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 13. The appeal renewed. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen.
Thank you, Lane. We'll now sing to lead us into the word, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Thank you.
say that they're rich and the weak can say that they're strong because of what the Lord has done. I'm just trying, my mind is trying to remember the circumstance, but there was something recently and I remember praying and saying, what are you going to do, Lord? And I heard these words coming back to me, what are you going to do? And that's how God works in the world. It's up to us to help the poor, to become less poor, and to help the weak, to be more able. And it's a wonderful privilege when God calls us to do that. Well, enough of my thoughts. We turn to our word for the day. I was trying to remember just how many years passed before James was beheaded, and I'm sure it was 10. So we're another 20 years further on now. Young Stephen was the first person to be martyred for his faith. That was just in the years following the crucifixion. But now we're in the year AD 65, and it's become very, very dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. We must admire believers of that era. There was not such a thing as nominalism. People were passionate about Christ and refused to deny him. And because of this refusal to deny him, they met terrible, terrible persecutions. But what had happened the year before that, in AD 64, there had been a great fire in Rome, and it had killed thousands of people. It left 250,000 people homeless, and it destroyed 3/4 of the city. It was a tragedy of enormous proportions. People had lost their loved ones, they lost their homes, and they lost their places of work. And a bit like how people in the worst places in Venezuela must feel just now, they couldn't see any hope for their future. But a year had passed since the fire, and grief had turned to anger, because there was a rumour going around the city that actually it was the emperor himself, Emperor Nero, who had started the fire. You may have heard the phrase, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. And that was the rumour, that he had actually started the fire, because it was common knowledge that he wanted to build a new palace. But this was impossible because the building works were already extensive and there was simply no more ground. So rumour had it that he started a fire to clear enough ground to build a new palace, and the fire grew out of control. And I think these suspicions were well-founded, because in the years to come, he did indeed use the cleared ground to build a new palace. But when Nero became aware that the tide of popularity had turned against him, he was most disturbed, because like Herod Agrippa, he had a big ego, and it was important to be popular with people. And so he determined to find a scapegoat. And the Christians, the followers of Jesus, were an easy target. They were a small minority in the city, and many people viewed them with some suspicion. And it had been heard, these Christians, saying that they were talking about a new kingdom and in a new king. And that rang some alarm bells in corridors of power in Rome. So Nero had made his decision, and he began to openly persecute Christians, pointing the finger at them for the great fire of Rome. Believers were rounded up. Some were covered in tar and burnt at the stake. Others were thrown to the wild beasts in the Colosseum, all for the amusement of Nero and his guests and some of the population. It was awful. Jesus had warned his disciples that following him would not be easy. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, he warns them that they too will be handed over for persecution, and they too will meet death. They will be hated, all because of their allegiance to Christ. And this ominous warning was now a reality. The order was given for Peter to be crucified, but he didn't feel worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. And so he asked if he may be crucified upside down, and that's what happened to Peter. And Paul was unfortunate enough to be in Rome at this particular time. He had been under house arrest for quite some time, and he knew that he was very unlikely to escape the wrath of Emperor Nero. he was well known to be a leader in the Christian organisation. So what was so important to Paul, knowing that, as he put it in his letter to Timothy, his life has been poured out like a drink offering, someone had to take over the baton, someone had to persevere with this gospel if Paul's life was coming to an end. And so he writes to young Timothy, a much younger man, a man who had accompanied him on one of his earlier missionary journeys, and to whom he'd become so fond of. He looked at Timothy as a son, and he writes two letters to him. The first letter is to charge him with the task that was before him, and the second letter is to encourage him and to give him wise advice. So Paul writes, always remember who it is that you're serving, because that will be your strength, just as it has been my strength. Persevere at all costs. Paul says, I'm now in chains, but nothing can chain the gospel. So Timothy had this onerous responsibility to carry on preaching the gospel, never to lose hope, because Timothy says, if we endure with him, we will reign with him. And as long as young Timothy keeps his focus on Christ Jesus, his Lord, he will be able and he will have the courage to do whatever is required. Paul tells him, think like a soldier. When we think of soldiers, they're in the heat of the battle. Nothing else is in their mind except persevering and winning the battle. They don't think about what's happening at home, what's happening in the world, or what's happening around them. They have a duty and responsibility, and they have to win that battle. And he also uses the illustration of an athlete, and we're enjoying athletics in abundance just now between football and tennis. And athletes train, especially in athletics, they train to win the race of their life. They train not to be the runner-up, but to be the personal best. And this is the same drive and determination that Timothy must have. And Paul ends his letter just by telling him, keep your head in all situations. Just keep calm, don't stray from the gospel. Because it was Paul himself that had taught him, and it was Christ who had taught Paul. And what was happening in the first century, in the middle of the first century actually, false teachers had began to emerge. And it was a constant battle for the church to steer people away from anything other than the true gospel of Christ, who had lived and who had died and who rose again and who reigns forevermore. One of the problems in the early church was because it had grown out of Judaism, when they were attracting people to come in, new people to come into the Christian movement, Gentiles, for example, some Jews felt that the first thing they had to do was be circumcised. And Paul said, no, 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 that's not required at all. You just follow our Lord. You don't have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. You just follow Jesus. And so Timothy had been taught the absolute truth. And now he writes, my life has been poured out like a drink's offering, and the time of my departure is very near. But I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our rightful judge, will award to me on that glorious day, and not just to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. How daunting it must have been for young Timothy, much younger man, to be the one to follow in Paul's footsteps. It was daunting, but it was not overwhelming. Paul kept making the point that success would not depend on Timothy. It's our great Lord who gives us the strength and guidance. And just as he had done that for Paul, he would do that for Timothy too. What wonderful examples these servants of God are. It's very, very unlikely that any of us here will be asked or called to such great tasks. And by the grace of God, it will also be very, very unlikely that any of us here will be persecuted because we follow Christ. But even in the small acts of service, it's so important that we do our best, that we don't seek to elevate ourselves, but remember that greatness is found in service, and to seek ways to continue to serve Christ with our lives and to persevere. Keep the faith. Run the great race of endurance. For God has prepared for you a crown of righteousness which you will receive on that glorious day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the strength your word gives us. And we thank you especially for the strength and courage that your living word gave to these first disciples who were all, every one of them, except John, put to death because they loved Christ. And we think of people all over the world today who live in countries where to be a Christian remains dangerous. We thank you for their perseverance, and may they always feel your nearness with them and be blessed with the peace of Christ. And may all of us remember, Lord, that you're the one constant in life. No matter what we face in life, we cannot lose your grip on us. And before us is that crown of righteousness that we too will receive on that glorious day. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks be to God indeed for the power of his living word. We'll sing now together, "Restore, O Lord, the honour of your ways."
Extends throughout history and touches all our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up the people of Venezuela to you, where fear, loss and uncertainty remain. Be near to them, merciful God, to all who are missing still, all who are injured, displaced or grieving. Bring comfort to all awaiting news of loved ones. Give strength to all involved in rescue and recovery, to humanitarian workers and all who offer care and shelter. We pray for world peace in the name of our Lord Jesus. We pray constantly for a peaceful settlement between Ukraine and Russia that will bring this war of attrition to an end. The precarious situation in the Middle East is always with us, Father God. We pray for an end to all conflict. Gracious God, where there is injustice, raise up voices of truth. Where hearts are hardened, soften them with compassion and courage. We bring before you today all who are in power across our nations. Give them the courage to act with compassion and wisdom to govern with humility and not to think only of their own gain. We pray for your church and our world, Eternal Father, to be bold in truth, generous in mercy, and tireless in the work of your kingdom. We bring to you this morning our own community and the rhythms of daily life within it. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the summer season and the blessing of school holidays, a time of rest for all involved in the busyness of education. We remember those close to us in our own lives and in our blended church family and the love that we share. We bring to you today all who are hurting, all who are grieving, all who are sorrowful and weary. Let your presence be as close as breath and your love as sure and steadfast as a rock. We take a moment in silence now to pray for all who we are holding in our hearts and minds today, loving and gracious Father. Merciful Father, help us to reflect your love in all that we do. May we always support one another in our prayer and in our action. For all of this we bring to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. Well, it might be a wee while since we have sang this last hymn together. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. So let's sing it now to bring our time of worship to
glory, glory, hallelujah. the love of God, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and with all those whom we so very deeply love, both now and forevermore. Amen.